In medieval Europe, the Roman Catholic Church once was the economy. Its wealth controlled and competed with feudal princes for power. The industrialized economy created new wealth that did not rely on the church, and suddenly, being part of the church wasn't the only way to do as the Romans did. But the secular scientific world has not eliminated the church from the economy even today. Faith-based groups in the U.S. represent $1.2 trillion, according to a study from Georgetown University. That's more than the top 10 U.S. tech companies, more than Google, Apple, and Amazon combined. Brian Grimm is president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation and co-author of the Georgetown study called The Socioeconomic Contributions of Religion to American Society. Brian, welcome to The Takeaway.
It's great to be with you today.
So what does that mean, $1.2 trillion? Is that a kind of tax-free shadow economy? Is it new wealth? How would you evaluate that $1.2 trillion?
Well, that $1.2 represents the contribution of faith to American society. A lot of that money is actually taxed because religious organizations, their main cost is employing people, and the people pay employment tax, Social Security tax, unemployment tax. So it's not – you can't really classify it as tax-free. But there's three categories in that total sum. One is the activities of congregations where all that money is brought in locally, spent locally, and benefits local economies, both in services and in direct spending, everything from flowers to sound systems for congregations. The second are religious institutions. Those are national charities, faith-based universities, and also other kinds of institutions like hospitals. And the third category is one that people don't often think about, but it's either faith-based business, such as the halal and kosher industries, or faith-friendly businesses such as Tyson Foods, which hires a force of chaplains to take care of the employees. They're multi-faith employees, so it's sort of like having chaplains in a hospital. The business itself has chaplains in the business.
Is the Jesuit Georgetown University a part of this calculation?
That's right. Georgetown's part of that, as are many faith-based, like Brandeis here in New York, many universities across the country. It doesn't count universities such as Harvard or Princeton that were started as faith-based universities
and became
secular.
So the Catholic University would sure be in there.
Sure, Catholic University.
Bob Jones University.
That's right. And really hundreds of small faith-based universities like Messiah College are included in that. And then it includes, I was mentioning the business category, groups such as the Knights of Columbus, which have nearly $100 billion worth of life insurance in force, taking care of widows and orphans in the modern age.
So that explains the huge number. What does it say about the character of Americans? Is this just a kind of accidental economy that has grown out of habits that are centuries old in some cases?
No, it's a very active economy. So people every day take their faith to work with them. It's part of who they are. There's an estimated 187 million American adults who are active in religion in the United States, not counting their kids. So it's part and parcel of who many people are. And part of this is, I really found the most surprising part of the study being how active congregations are. There's 344,000 religious congregations across the U.S. of every religion and denomination. And those congregations are doing everything from providing mental health care to HIV/AIDS ministries to helping people find jobs. And another surprising finding from the study is that there are four times as many congregations that people identify as places to go see art and architecture as there are museums in the whole United States. So, you know, if you walk up and down the streets of, you know, Fifth Avenue or, you know, anywhere here in New York City, you know, you're seeing lots of magnificent religious structures that you could say are in competition and outpacing some of the visits to museums.
What's the breakdown of wealth that goes to more modern evangelical institutions versus the old mainline churches? And then, of course, there's the homegrown Mormon church, which is very much an American phenomenon and has a huge amount of wealth associated with the West.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've described are the findings of the study, that these activities represented by the dollar figure we have are not confined to just one group. You began talking about the Catholic Church. I mean, Catholic Church is a big player with more adherents than any other single denomination. Then groups like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormons, are very active. So they don't have a professional clergy. So many of, you know, everybody's volunteer, like Mitt Romney, he was a local, what they call bishop or a pastor of a church, and that's all volunteer. And you find many of the volunteers being from the business world. The founder of JetBlue, he said he's also Mormon, and he said he learned everything he needed to make a successful company during his years as a missionary. So that's an example of how faith contributes to the economy, because you have local congregations, local missions, international missions. Tim Kaine, candidate for vice president, he served a Jesuit mission. So these religious experiences contribute to, you know, who people are, how they approach business, how they approach the economy.
Would you say that the power associated with this economic figure is bigger than the political power that is attempted to be thrown about during an election year, particularly from right-wing religious organizations? Does the money translate into political power, and is it across all denominations and all parties, or is it just in one sliver?
It's diverse. So in that figure are large black congregations, historically black churches. So you have, you know, a wide spectrum of political belief represented by these figures. Mainline denominations, by surveys, tend to be more on the leaning left. Conservative evangelicals tend to lean right. But in that figure is all of these different groups are coming in, and Catholics sort of go, you know, lean both ways, you could say. So, and then you have the Jewish, large Jewish population, a growing Muslim population, and all of these represent different, you know, attitudes and beliefs, political beliefs. So it doesn't translate into the, you know, the old moral majorities. You know, mm-hmm, it's not sure. Just a single sure. block, but it's having influence on people, you know, across the spectrum.
Brian Grimm is president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation and co-author of the study, The Socioeconomic Contributions of Religion to American Society. Thanks so much.
Great to be here.
This is Cheryl from Arlington, Texas. I'm a regular donor to our church's soup kitchen, where we feed the working poor and the homeless in our immediate neighborhood. I have seen good work come from helping the homeless, but have also seen a segment of the population that has learned to take advantage of these types of programs and enjoy a free meal while they and their children sit at tables and text on their smartphones.
So what's your piece of the faith-based economy? From Little Rock, Arkansas, I donate regularly to my church, and the funds are used locally and worldwide for various ministerial, construction, maintenance, and relief efforts. The most recent example was the provisioning of tools and other support for relief efforts in the flooded areas of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. From Austin, Texas, never, faith can no more benefit a community than a belief in the tooth fairy. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or comment at thetakeaway.org. Subscribe to The Takeaway podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Curious.com, committed to helping people build their CQ or Curious quotient through the game of lifelong learning. Curious, where people can learn something new every day at Curious.com/PRI. From Lumosity, offering a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving, training programs that draw from 50 brain games, and tools to compare scores with global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com. And LegalZoom, providing resources to protect intellectual property, including trademark registration, copyrights, patents, and independent attorney consultations for advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway's resilience reporting is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. For more, go to rockfound.org.
PRI. Public Radio International.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.